You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
31 picks in the books, and the first round of the 2023 NFL Draft is complete. Welcome, everybody, to a round one recap here on Move the Sticks. Our guy, Daniel Jeremiah, of course, in Kansas City, part of the broadcast on NFL Network. Rhett Lewis, Bucky Brooks here with you on this edition of MTS. Both of us on part of the MegaCast broadcast here on the NFL family of platforms. Bucky, a big part of the NFL channel on YouTube and on your connected TVs, rolling with Mike Yam and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, that was fun.
Great work, my friend. I was a part of the NFL Plus broadcast with my friend Cynthia Freeland and Mark Ross as we were trying to make the picks for the teams.
Yeah,
we hit on a few. We did. We hit on a few. And I effectively talked my GM Mark into making a couple of picks that I was pounding the table for. We'll get into those. Yeah. We'll get into winners. We'll talk quarterbacks. We'll talk guys still sitting out there in round two. Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, quarterbacks did not get picked. Bryce Young did go number one. I don't think we got to spend a ton of time on that, Buck. That was chalk. We thought that was going to happen for a while now. It did. But man, the Houston Texans, the one thing that I will take credit for, as you remember on the Mock Draft Live show.
You take credit for it?
A little bit.
You feel like Nick and D'Amico were like, oh, the mighty Rhett Lewis.
No, sir. No. It was my forecasting the headline following night one, and that the headline was the Texans will win the draft on night one. Wherever they pick, whomever they pick, they will win the draft. And in my book, it was over at three. As the Texans drafted C.J. Stroud at number two and then traded up from 12 to 3 with the Arizona Cardinals and nabbed Will Anderson. In my book, they got the best pure passer and the best defensive player in the draft, and they got cornerstones on both sides of the ball right there, Buck. What do you think?
I mean, I loved it. I was surprised now. I mean, here's the thing. Leading up to it, I feel like we're chasing ghosts. With the C.J. Stroud thing and the Houston Texans, and you wondered if the Houston Texans were going to overthink it when it came to quarterback. But at the end of the day, they did the good thing. They took C.J. Stroud at two, and it was smart for them to take him at two because if they take Will Anderson first, they may not be able to make the deal with the Cardinals. Someone else grabs C.J. Stroud.
Right. They had to go quarterback first.
Yeah. So they get the quarterback first, and they come back and get Will Anderson. And it made a lot of sense when you go back and you start looking at the comments that D'Amico Ryans had talked about in terms of guys that he liked, the football character, all the other stuff. I mean, he screamed, Will Anderson.
Yeah, and you guys sold it. You guys, you know, if you listen to Move the Sticks leading up to this draft this past week, you guys sold me for sure.
He was great. I mean, he was outstanding on it. And so now you talk about a franchise that has two cornerstone players. The quarterback, the pass rusher, the work that they did a year ago, some of the free agents. It's still a very, very tough, not only division, but a tough conference. But they should be a very competitive team. And you can see the foundation in place, and we're only after day one.
Okay, so as I mentioned, DJ on the broadcast in Kansas City, let's hear his thoughts as those picks were made back-to-back at 2 and 3 by the Houston Texans.
And he is a pure thrower. You talk about pocket ability. He has that. Any questions you had about C.J. Stroud, though, they were answered in the game against Georgia in the playoffs. How about the pocket movement? Kind of question whether or not he could move around, reset, deliver the ball. He shows you that ability on time in rhythm. The ball comes out of the same arm slot. He's a rhythm passer. And look at the ball placement where he's able to put it always on that upfield shoulder so you can run after the catch. Jalen Carter unblocked right in your face here. How do you get away from him? He does, eyes up, deliver the ball down the football field. All these athleticism questions, he put them all to bed, making things happen outside the structure of the play. And he might not be going for 40, 50 yards, but he's going to get you first downs with his athleticism. All right, let's jump into Will Anderson in the video. Again, the elite character, elite work ethic, leadership, all that stuff's great. But when he gets on the field, this guy has got power and torque and plays the game in a manner that you see Khalil Mack play football. run and pass. He's a complete player. He can dominate at the point of attack. He's done it for three straight years. When you watch him get after the quarterback, he's got incredibly strong hands. Talk about having shock in your hands. He's able to get underneath the wrist, pop it up, and get home. He has a feel to go along with his suddenness. You overset, you get over your skis as a tackle, he feels it. He's going to counter underneath and get home with a sack. Think about the point of attack, stack and shed. That's Jamari Sawyer, who started a bunch of games for the Chargers last year. Keep in mind, he's playing against NFL players every week. And then you don't want to account for him on the backside. He's going to be able to close that door with his speed and his effort. Hey, the Houston Texans aren't messing around, guys. I love it.
Fantastic work by the Texans and their entire personnel crew. And, man, just to the way they maneuvered the draft board to get those two marquee players in a draft that was not chock full of marquee players. Bucky, again, I think comes into play here. So Stroud, Anderson, and then at four, there's a lot of smoke about Will Levis.
A lot of smoke.
And it turns out it's Anthony Richardson.
Now, I feel bad. I feel horrible for Will Levis because I feel like he's been on a yo-yo ride. I mean, they're talking about him at two, then at four, and then for him to fall out the first round, you know, that's really unfortunate for him to watch that play out on national TV. But the pick for Anthony Richardson is one, I'll be honest, I am surprised. I'm only surprised because the player that we saw at Florida, we talk about the potential, the upside, but I just didn't know if the Indianapolis Colts would pull the trigger to do it. And so Shane Steichen takes his guy, Anthony Richardson. I think he'll use a similar blueprint to the one they used with Jalen Hurts. They'll move him around. They use him as a runner. And then the thought of Anthony Richardson playing alongside Jonathan Taylor in the backfield with what they will eventually add around those guys on the perimeter.
Yeah.
This offense is going to be challenging for opponents to defend because you talk about a dominant running attack if they can fix the offensive line and get back to doing some of the stuff that they did successfully during the Frank Wright era.
Seahawks went Devin Witherspoon after Richardson. Paris Johnson, first offensive lineman off
the
board.
How about that?
We had kind of tied the Cardinals and Johnson together as a match there. They got Kyler Murray's guy, the guy he had reportedly wanted. They end up trading back in a value that made more sense, right? And Paris Johnson ends up going to the Cardinals at six. Tyree Wilson, then now you get about 190 combined inches of wingspan there with the Condor, Max Crosby, and another Condor-like wingspan to Tyree Wilson. Bijan Robinson ends at eight. You know, it's kind of funny. It's like that was kind of like the one pick that we kind of started to settle on.
You know, it's the only one we can find, Will. I guess the Falcons could take him. And when you have a head coach in Arthur Smith who had
made
worked
sense
previously with Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry flourished under his direction,
yep,
now put Bijan Robinson. You know the Falcons want to run the football, so now you take him and Tyler Ajeres, Cordarrelle Patterson. You have a lot of running backs to throw at him. And if you're going to start Desmond Ridder, you're not going to put all that pressure on him to carry the offense. Then you have a running game that should be able to do it.
And they've supported their offensive line and extended like a whole bunch of those guys. That's kind of a homegrown group up there that they have drafted heavily the last few years. I thought the first surprise of the night was, you know, the Bears trading out of nine in a spot where they could have taken a player they might have taken at one overall when they had that pick. They trade out of the opportunity to take Jalen Carter, let the Eagles move up there and get a Georgia defensive tackle, a dominant one, for the second straight year after Jordan Davis last year. And then the Bears take Darnell Wright over Peter Skoronski, over Broderick Jones. And so let me get your assessment of how that little sequence worked out.
So this is interesting. The Philadelphia Eagles taking Jalen Carter, that made complete sense. We had talked about that. He obviously had gotten assurances that he wouldn't fall out of the top 10, which is why the Eagles were in play in all of our minds. But now you surround him with a bunch of his former teammates. You put him in a comfort zone where now he's N'Kobe Dean, Jordan Davis. We talk about Nolan Smith coming over later. It's like back to old times in terms of him being in the locker room surrounded by people that know him and can kind of help him kind of find his way while he's transitioning to the pros. Darnell Wright over Peter Skoronski is a surprise, but when you go back and watch the tape, best right tackle in the class.
Yes.
Has some nastiness, some physicality, and those things. And if the Bears are going to run the football like we think, he's a nice fit for them in terms of running the ball on the edges.
Okay, and so then the Titans end up ending Peter Skoronski's wait. And look, they've invested now heavily in that offensive line.
They needed to. They had all kinds of injuries. They had to.
Yeah. No Taylor Lewan. He is no longer part of the program. So you're talking about guys like Nick Petit-Frere from Ohio State. You're talking about Dylan Radins. And now you go get Peter Skoronski. I thought just a really solid job by Rand Carthon in his first year leading that personnel group as the GM. Now, the first major shocker of the night comes from the Detroit Lions, who traded out of 6 down to 12. Mm-hmm. And ended up selecting Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back.
I feel like you're a little disappointed. I feel like the Detroit Lions.
I am not a Lions fan, but from way back. There's some history there.
I feel like it's a little disappointing because in essence, what the Lions did, if they were going to pick a running back, they could have sat at 6
and taken Bijan.
However, they fall to 12 and they take Jahmyr Gibbs, and the grades aren't necessarily identical, but I understand in theory what the Detroit Lions are doing, because there's been a lot of conversation about where they have David Montgomery, they have DeAndre Swift, but DeAndre Swift hasn't really done anything. He's been hurt. He hasn't performed to the level of expectation. And look, Jahmyr Gibbs to me is a better version of DeAndre Smith in terms of what he can do out the backfield. And those things. And so now in the passing game, man, we're cooking with gas. Ben McDonald, we got to get him some weapons. Like, we're trying to chuck it all over the yard.
It just felt like at that point, the names that were on the board, you know, Lucas Van Ness still felt like a premier player to me. And yeah, look, I get it. Maybe, you know, you took Aiden last year, you got James Houston. But it felt like there was some opportunity there to, I mean, Broderick, you know, I know you're good at the tackles. It's just interesting that was the position that they chose, you know, as a premier player, as a top 12 pick. And then look, they're back on the board at 18.
Yeah.
And they go Jack Campbell. And look, you won't find a bigger fan of Jack Campbell. I think he's fantastic. But at 18, it shocked me a little bit.
I mean, it only shocked me in terms of how much they love Rico. Malcolm Rodriguez coming from Oklahoma State, how much they talked about him in Hard Knocks, how much he played last season. But then you get Campbell.
So now we got two of them?
I mean, downhill player. But he fits the culture. He fits Dan Campbell and what he wants to do. I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised at that one.
I can admit some surprise on that one. If you're talking about getting weapons for the offense, like, the run on receivers could have started at 18 too.
Yeah, but last year we drafted Jameson Williams in the first round.
You know he's going to miss some serious time.
Yeah, but we can't go back to the draft because he decided that he was going to gamble.
No, I
at
get
the
it.
Facility.
All right. We traded away Jeff Okuda.
Yeah,
we could at any of those times we could have taken Emmanuel Forbes or Christian Gonzalez.
We could have, but like,
well, I mean that would have been with the Jahmyr Gibbs pick.
I mean, free agency, like we signed some guys.
All right. It's all food for thought, but those struck me as an interesting combo.
It's setting up nicely for the Packers to reclaim the division.
It's set up nicely
for Jordan Love to reclaim, to take the Packers back and reclaim the division.
If they were playing in like 1992, like this, you know, like Rodney Pete would have loved these picks.
And Jack Campbell, look, Chris Spielman is all over. Like, he's probably
Wayne Fonts would have loved these picks.
We're going to crush.
I just thought it was interesting.
It is.
Okay.
How you feel about Lucas Van Ness going to the Green Bay Packers?
I love Lucas. I love the player, so I love the pick. I kind of thought that maybe the tight end might have gone there in Dalton Kincaid. He ends up going to the Buffalo Bills if they trade it up. We'll get to that here in a minute. But let's get into the fact that Christian Gonzalez had been getting some serious steam towards being the first corner off the board and in the top 10. Not only does he not go in the top 10, but he's the third corner off the board behind Emmanuel Forbes, who essentially goes to Washington to try to recreate Josh Norman there for Ron Rivera.
Well, yeah, that's what you get. It's so funny. Like, I made a comparison that he is a little bit like Xavier Howard, but then when you look at the notes, unorthodox cover style, which is very reminiscent of how Josh Norman played a position for so many years. Christian Gonzalez going to the Patriots, to me, we talked about it, kind of reminds me a little bit of Stephon Gilmore when he came over from the Bills. Stephon Gilmore was a more of a bump and run corner at Buffalo. But when he goes to the Patriots, he does a little bit of everything. My thing with Christian Gonzalez, he has a great toolbox. He has all the size and attributes that you look for. But will he eat enough gunpowder to be tough enough to play for Bill Belichick? You've been up there. You've seen those practices.
No, we better believe it. Down. Yeah.
Is he going to thump enough to kind of earn his right way onto the field?
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about a few other things here. We've hit some of those surprises. I think I'm not surprised by anything that happened in the bottom 20, you know, bottom 6-7 picks. The fact that Mazi Smith, Anton Harrison, Brian Brzee ends up getting their names called doesn't surprise me at all, especially in that range. I thought the fact that Nolan Smith was available at 30 was a pretty big surprise. What's your thought there?
I thought he might be available in the 20s. I didn't know that he would get all the way down to the end. But what a great pick by the Eagles to backstop Hassan Reddick with a player that has comparable skills. So now, you know, we love to talk about the Eagles and their redshirt plan where they take young players, draft them out, but they sit them behind a veteran so they can sit there, learn the game without the pressure of having to produce right away, and it sets them up for success better, where he gets an opportunity to have Hassan Reddick at his mentor, to watch him every day, to take some of the things from the game, see if he can implement them. You know, for the Eagles, they invest in the front lines, and Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith in the same hall. That is unbelievable.
All right. Well, let's get Daniel Jeremiah's thoughts on the Eagles' first-round pick. And that, of course, was Jalen Carter trading up to number 9 to make that happen. So essentially blocking out anybody else that was trying to move into that top 10, perhaps to make that pick and get a sliding Jalen Carter. And then you team him up with Nolan Smith. So Georgia, again, is winning the day in Philadelphia. But let's go back to DJ's thoughts on Jalen Carter here.
You talk about the quickness, the leverage, and the power, and I don't say it lightly when I say Quinnen Williams, that's the type of player. Look at the knockback that he has here against Oregon. A little forearm shiver there to reset the line of scrimmage. The quickness, the suddenness. I wrote my note, this guy like teleports from one gap to another. I don't know how he got there, but he somehow gets there.
Look at
ridiculous
you going, Harry
quickness. Cloud. Again, watch him stack shed and then make a tackle. Another example of the change of direction quickness, quarterbacks trying to get away from him. Good luck. He is an outstanding finisher once he gets into the backfield. How about fullback? You think that they might have some fun? Nick Sirianni with this one? That's a threefer. That's a three-for-one special with him at the fullback position. So, to me, when I look at Jalen Carter, guys, that defense was stacked last year. Ian Rappaport, he was the best player on last year's Georgia defense.
Interesting, right? Especially when you consider a Georgia Bulldog went number 1 overall in that draft, and now you maybe get the best player there out of that Georgia team at 9 for the Eagles, and then they come back at 30 with Nolan Smith. Interesting. Let's talk a bit about the other. We've hit about these teams that have had the multiple picks. The Seattle Seahawks haven't touched on. You guys talked about it on the podcast this week leading up to the draft, going back to the 2010s, trying to recreate that defensive dominance. They get Devin Witherspoon to go along with Tariq Woolen, and then they come back. And look, I know we had thought about wide receiver here. I didn't think that was a glaring need for the Seahawks, but the fact that they were able to get arguably the best wideout in the draft at number 20 in JSN, you throw him in the slot with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, that might be the best wide receiver core in the league.
Yeah, it might be, and it's a perfect fit because you put him in the slot with Lockett and DK on the outside, guys who win routinely on vertical games. And now you have this guy zipping across the field on all kinds of crossing routes, facing one-on-one coverage because you still have to defend Kenneth Walker Jr. and Geno Smith in the pocket. It's just a very, very interesting thing to put together. And so, remember, these are kind of bonus picks for the Seattle Seahawks. They get them for Russell Wilson. They didn't know they would be picking in the top 5. They didn't know that they would have another pick later that would give them an opportunity to kind of reset the franchise, a franchise that went to the playoffs. So, yeah, you, John Snyder, you sitting pretty. You feel great about what you walked away with after day one.
Any other day one winners that strike you that we haven't hit on yet that you were a big fan of in terms of pick position and team?
Don't know if I'm a big fan, but I think one of the things that stood out to me, the Baltimore Ravens going back to the wide receiver market to get Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers, who's been likened to Steve Smith by Steve Smith, has an opportunity to play in Steve Smith's old stomping grounds. What does that look like? The last time they took a little receiver, it was Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown didn't like it, didn't really fully embrace what it is that they do. Will Zay Flowers embrace what they do on the outside if they ask him to be a little more active in the running game as a blocker?
All right, we want to get, before we get on here, we want to get you our best players available going into day two, and quarterback will be among the names at the top of that list. Four players left in the green room. Before we get that, let's take a quick break here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, back here with you. Move the Sticks. Rhett Lewis, Bucky Brooks. Kind of assessed our thoughts on how the first round ended up shaping up there. Bryce Young at number one. Felix Anyedike Uzomah going to the champs in the home of the draft and the Kansas City Chiefs to close out night one, which means four guys are left in the green room in Kansas City going into day two here, Buck. Brian Branch, arguably the best slot corner in this draft.
All right.
Will Levis, guy we thought is one of the top five quarterbacks. Keon White.
That's close. Keon White. And
Georgia Tech.
That's fine.
And then Joey Porter Jr. didn't go in the first round.
I would say of all of those, in terms of expressing surprise, Joey Porter Jr., I may be the most surprised at, because when you look at the grade, he was a bumper run corner, played at a high level, had all those PBUs against Purdue, but then it was not necessarily up and down, but he had exposed for some moments. The thing is, right, he doesn't have a complete toolbox, and those guys at the top, they have the ability to do more than just press. They can play off, they can bail, they can do a bunch of different things. He hasn't shown that ability consistently, and so because of that, he's getting punished on draft day because of his inaction or inability to kind of do things in a complete passion like some of these other guys.
Okay, so let's just assess here quickly. Pittsburgh Steelers on the clock to lead off the second round after getting that pick from the Chicago Bears as part of the Chase Claypool trade. I don't think they're taking Will Levis. Are they fielding calls for teams that may want to get up there and try to get a Levis or a Hendon Hooker who did not hear their names called? When do you see those teams coming off here?
Man, I think those teams are trying to jump off in the 30s before you get to 40. But some of these guys are going to take, you know, they're going to take the chance, they're going to swing, because we talked about how this year is a little unique in terms of how everyone has everybody graded. What looks good in our room will look different in another room. And so you're just trying to figure out how to piece it together. Because of that, I think guys are going to be a little more conservative. They're targeting some of those blue-chip guys that slid through the cracks, much like a couple years ago the Giants took Xavier McKinney to give them a safety. Let's see who the Steelers take. I don't know. Like Roger Jones early. That's
okay.
That's good.
Just kind of looking at this here, you know, thinking about it, the Raiders come on the board at 38. Talked about them as maybe a team in that quarterback market.
That'd be a good place for them to take a quarterback, whether it's Will Levis or Hendon Hooker. That's not a nice sweet spot.
Yeah. Top first 10 picks of the second round. Could be interesting. Got a lot to dig into
it's
here.
Wild. Yeah. It's only going to get wilder, because after we got through the first set of blue collars, like, you just look around and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of people. This is not good. It's not good.
Okay, so for another note on the first round, for the first time in the common draft era, we had wide receivers go back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
How about that? And I know you being a wide receiver specialist, you got JSN, Quentin Johnson going to the L.A. Chargers, Zay Flowers going to the Ravens, we talked about. But the guy that we talked about early in the week down in the green room, Jordan Addison, joining the Minnesota Vikings to play alongside Justin Jefferson. That's an interesting one, to say the least.
I like it. I mean, they made their choice. They're riding with Kirk Cousins for the foreseeable future, and so they're trying to support him, and they did. Giants, at that point, got shut out of the wide receiver market and ended up going Deontay Banks, the corner out of Maryland. So I think who takes Jalin Hyatt in the second round, I think, is going to be really intriguing as well, as he did not get his name called. So there's some definite talent out there at the top. When we kick this thing off, the offensive linemen, I think, are going to again to start coming. We didn't get any of the interior guys, not a single one. No Tippmann, no JMS. We got no Steve Avila, no Osiris Torrence. So I think all those guys, Cody Mauch is going to be available there early day two. And I think those are some of the things that we're going to be excited about and some of the things that Bucky and perhaps our buddy Lance Zierlein will talk to you about on the day two wrap-up podcast, which will be back with you following the conclusion of rounds two and three. Look forward to seeing you. Reminder, NFL Network's coverage kicks off 7 p.m. Eastern time live from Kansas City. You can check DJ out there. And then, of course, be back here tomorrow night for the wrap-up pod. It's been great being with you. Thanks to our great production team led by the one and only and super fan of the Green Bay Packers and the Lucas Van Ness pick, Nabil Hassan. I am Red Lewis here with Bucky Brooks. Thanks again for being with us. We'll catch you next time.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.